Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing here tonight, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that your rest is here, your peace is here, your anointing is here, Lord. We thank you. We just love being in your presence. Father, tonight, as we look into your word, we thank you that it will come alive. We pray that there be an anointing upon the word, that it not just go through our heads, but it jump in our hearts tonight, Lord, that it jump in our spirits, that we respond in faith to the word of God and it become alive and real to us. And that faith will produce miracles, Lord. And we give you honor and glory and praise. We just worship you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We are planning to have a work day this Saturday. We had meant to announce it Sunday, and we forgot. But anyway, we had a lot going on Sunday, but we are going to have a work day. We're going to start about 8 o'clock Saturday morning and work till just a little past noon. The church will do lunch for everybody that's here, but there's just a whole bunch of stuff on our list that needs to be done. So if anybody can come on Saturday, that would be a big blessing. Amen. Amen. Nina, were you wanting to announce anything? Okay. Next Wednesday night, we'll be meeting at 5, and we're having our Harvest Festival. We're going to be having a last supper and just having a wonderful party, and it's for all ages. There's going to be lots of games for the children, but there's going to be something there. Well, all of us adults can just enjoy watching the fun and visiting and spending time in fellowship. Amen. So next Wednesday, we'll be meeting here at 5, having a meal together. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's been, God's financial blessings has been on my heart, and I've just had a stirring in my spirit that it's time for some breakthroughs. That it's time for some breakthroughs and God to do some awesome things. And so tonight we're going to be going a whole lot of scriptures about that we're blessed to be a blessing. And we're going to talk mostly about finances. But when we hear the word, it builds faith in our hearts. And we respond. Hallelujah. God wants to prosper us, and so the more we know about what His Word says about it, the more we're on the receiving end of that blessing. Proverbs 29:18 in the Message. The screen's going to be catching up with us in just a minute. I'm going to be reading from some different translations. And I'll try to tell you what translations we're looking at so you know where it came from, unless it's most of my scriptures are New King James, and then I won't mention it. It'll just be, but I'm using a lot of different kinds of scriptures, different kinds of translations, so it'll be on the screen so we can all read together. But Proverbs 29:18 in the Message says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. Amen? So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to attend to what God reveals in His Word to us. And as we are studying about godly wealth, we're going to be making some decrees. And so I'm going to spend 3 minutes talking of some basic things about decrees so you'll understand where I'm coming from. But Job 22:28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Decree is a legal term that carries the same level of authority as a law being enacted or an order being issued by a court. We can decree something that God's promised or purposed for us that we may not even be experiencing yet, but when we agree and decree God's word, it brings it to life in our life. Amen? When we decree God's word, written or prophetic, not only are we establishing the blessing, but we are also dividing ourselves away from anything purposed against that blessing. And here's a couple of scriptures about God's word. In Jeremiah 1:12, it's in the Amplified. It says, "For I," and this is God speaking, "am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." When we put voice to God's word, we come into agreement with him and his word, and then he performs it. We agree with God's word, we speak it, we believe it, and he does it. It's not, the pressure's not on us. We just decree it and speak it, and he does it. And then Psalms 103:20, and this is the New American Standard, and it says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word." So angels have been given a direction from God to obey the voice of his word. When we speak God's word, the angels are released to do the work of his word. So it's God responds to his word. He has his angels respond to his word. So it's important that we speak the word. Amen. Okay, we're going to start on some scriptures about a godly wealth. We're going to Proverbs 8. We're going to read 17 and 18, and then we'll drop down to 21. And this is in the New Living Translation. It says, "Wisdom speaks, I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice." And then down to verse 21, "Those who love me, wisdom, inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries." Hallelujah. And then, so we love wisdom, but we're going to read now 1 Corinthians 1:30, the first half of the verse. It's in the New Living. And it says, "God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him, Jesus, to be wisdom itself." So when we've received Jesus and fell in love with him, and he is wisdom, and so we love wisdom. Amen? And that makes us candidates to inherit riches, honor, wealth, and justice. Amen? Yes, we say amen. We're going to do a decree now, and I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go through it again, and you speak it with me as we say it. Because I'm in love with Jesus, I inherit wealth, and my treasuries are full. Hallelujah. My bank account's full. My wallet's full. My pantry's full. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 10:22 tells us that the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. A lot of times, worldly riches come with a lot of sorrow and trouble. But God, when God gives riches, he adds no sorrow with it. It's free from sorrow. It's just blessing. Hallelujah. God's desire is for us to be blessed and enriched in the Lord in every area of our life. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Hallelujah. So there's a very definite line between what the enemy brings and what God brings. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 45:3, we're going to read that. And it says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by my name and the God of Israel. Now, I think this scripture can have a lot of different meanings, but a lot of times when I'm praying for souls, I'm praying, these people are out there in darkness, but they're a treasure. And God, and when I ask for souls, I said, God, give us the treasures of darkness. And that's one way to look at it. But it's also has to do with blessings, financial blessings. Amen. And we're going to read now Colossians 1:12. And it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we are children of the Most High God. We're His children, and we have been made partakers of our inheritance. And that includes all kinds of blessings. Hallelujah. Okay, a decree. God is giving me treasures of darkness. God is giving me treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. And hidden riches of secret places. I am a partaker. I'm a partaker of my inheritance from the Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God owns everything. He owns everything. And we're His children. We're in His inheritors. Hallelujah. That's good news. We're going to read Deuteronomy 8:18, and it said, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers to this day. So God gave the anointing or the power of the anointing for His people to get wealth. Prosperity is one of the benefits of Jesus' sacrifice. We're going to read Isaiah 53:4-5. And it says, surely He, speaking of Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. The word peace there, the chastisement of our peace, peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. And shalom means safety, prosperity, peace, and wholeness. So in even Jesus' death and sacrifice, He paid for our health, for our prosperity, for our peace, for our wholeness. Amen. That's good news. We're going to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and this is in the Amplified. And God is able to make all grace come to you in abundance, so that you always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. This is God's will for us. Hallelujah. God wants to give us grace. Hallelujah. That's His divine flow of His power. To come to a place of abundance so that we have all we need and we have an abundance left over to give into every good work. And so that's God's purpose for it. So we're going to decree this by God's grace. I have everything I need. And an abundance to give into every good work. I am a generous, joyous giver. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we're going on to 2 Corinthians 9, and we're going to read verse 7 and 8, and then 10 and 11, and this is going to be in the Message. And it said, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out and never wear out. Down to verse 10. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Hallelujah. So God wants us blessed so that we can be a blessing. I saw a sign recently that said, I don't even remember where I saw it, but it said, the measure of a great man is not what he accumulates, but what he gives away. The measure of a great man is not what he accumulates, but what he gives away. I just like that. Amen. That's Bible. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Just like he died and took sin upon himself so that we could be forgiven, he left his riches to become poor that we could be made rich. It was his awesome provision. Amen. Psalms 24:1 tells us the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness, the world and all who dwell therein. And this is just a little, like a little poem about what the Lord owns. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the mountains with their caves, the caves with their treasures, the meadows with their trees, the trees with their fruit, the land with its pastures, the pastures with their cattle, the soil with its seeds, the seeds with their crops, the silver and the gold and all the precious gems and minerals, the entire sphere of creation and all it contains. You know, our God really owns it all. This earth belongs to him and everything in it. The fullness of everything in it belongs to my daddy. I'm just really blessed. Hallelujah. What an inheritance we have. And you know, God wants us blessed. And I've just been sensing in my spirit, it's just time for miracles to happen. It's time for unexpected money to come in. It's just time for some things to change and God's people to be blessed. And I felt like going through all of this today, because when we hear the word, it begins to create faith in us. And it puts us in a place to receive the blessings of the Lord that he's ready to pour out to us. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about giving with a willing mind and heart. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have." God never asks us to give what we don't have. You know, he knows what we have, and he's not ever asking us to try, you know, we should never feel bad about what we can't give. Just be led of God with what you do have in the way you give. Amen. Exodus 35, we're going to read 5 and then go down to 21. And it says, "Take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, bronze." And then down to verse 21, this is when they were building the temple. Verse 21, "Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all of its service, and for the holy garments." The Old Testament is full of people bringing free will offerings to God. You know, God never wants his people to feel like their arms twisted. He wants you to, you know, to have your heart open to him and then just be willing to do what God puts in your heart. And that's what pleases God. Can riches be used wrong? Can money be used wrong? Duh, yes. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money," it didn't say money, it said the love of money "is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many arrows." The love of money is the root of all illegal trafficking. The love of money is behind people that want to succeed so bad they ignore God and his will, and they just want to accomplish what they want and get more riches no matter who they trample on the way. That's what the love of money does. I mean, we've all seen it. People that step all over other people just to get more for themselves. And that's what the love of money does. Love of money is also connected to a fear of losing the money. When you love money, you're afraid you're going to lose it. And it causes people then to be selfish and self-centered. And then we're also admonished not to trust in money. We're going to read Mark 10, 23 through 24. It says, "Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God.'" So it's not the having the money, it's trusting in the money, putting your trust in the money. And I really don't think it makes a whole lot of, some rich people, all their trust is in the money. But God wants us trusting in him. He wants us blessed, but he wants our trust in him. And I think, how much is too much? Well, it could be $10 or $1 million, depending on people's attitude toward it. You know, sometimes poor people are the most, you know, worried about the money they have. They trust in that $10 that's in their purse, and they don't want to let it get away, and they are trusting in that. Hallelujah. And God wants us to always trust in him, not in anything we have. Hallelujah. Psalms 37, 3 through 5 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Hallelujah. So, you know, God wants us blessed, but he never wants to lose our trust in him and looking to him. He's you know, God is so much more wonderful than anything we could have, you know, and it's just our relationship with him is precious. You know, it's, how can you even compare natural riches with God's presence? There's no comparison, you know, and so we want to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about Abraham's blessings, and we're going to read a few scriptures out of Galatians 3. We're going to start with 7, and it says, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So we are faith. We've been born again, so we're sons of Abraham. Down to verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham was blessed, and we're blessed. Down to verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then down to 29, it says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. So we are heirs of Abraham because we are faith. We're in faith. We're heirs of Jesus Christ. And so we have Abraham's blessing. And we're going to read God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, 2 through 3. And God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God blessed Abraham, and he blessed everyone that blessed him. God blessed all of the people that blessed Abraham. When somebody has a mandate from God, those who bless them will be blessed themselves. And that's what we can call partnership. When God called us into the ministry in 1987, he gave Calvin this mandate, arise and go forth on a new venture of faith, and I will bless thee and use thee and keep thee safe. So everyone that helps us fulfill this mandate, and you being members of Faith Ministries Church, you're part of this venture of faith. And so you have the blessing, I'll bless you, I'll use you, I'll keep you safe. Every time we get ready to go on a trip or go on a ministry trip or do anything, we just say, thank you, Lord, for blessing us and using us and keeping us safe. Every time you put an offering in the offering box, you're blessing the calling that God put on this ministry. And you can, every time you put your offering in, you need to say, I'm blessed, I'm used, and I'm kept safe. Because that promise belongs to you because of a joining with this mandate that God gave us. Hallelujah. It's yours. And so just receive it. Say it. You know, just say it all the time. And you know, say, I'm part of this venture of faith. And when you go out about your daily life, say, I am blessed, I'm used, and I'm kept safe. Hallelujah. It's part of the blessing that is upon you. Amen. That's upon us. Hebrews 7:1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of kings and blessed him, to him Abraham gave a tenth of all. Abraham gave a tithe way before the law of Moses came along. And because Abraham is our spiritual father, you know, it makes sense that we would follow in his footsteps giving a tithe to the Lord. Not that we do it out of legalism or because we have to. It's just part of the blessing of God that's upon our life. Abraham knew God as El Shaddai. And that's the nature of God. El Shaddai is the nature that loves, nourishes, provides. It's the provider God. And so the Bible makes it clear that we're children of Abraham and heirs according to his promise. And so it's when we tithe, we're following our father Abraham and the example that he set before us. And Genesis 13:2 tells us that Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Hallelujah. So Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. And it's just, know it. I feel like I want our faith to connect. God wants to do new things. I feel we've all been going through some trials and trouble, and there's been, sometimes it's like a push to keep going on, but I feel we're coming into a different anointing. I feel like we're coming to a place of breakthrough. Blessings are going to begin to come and come and come and come. And so and I feel it's time for financial breakthroughs and financial blessings. And that's why the Lord put on my heart to look at the scripture, because that builds faith in our hearts. Hallelujah. We're going to look a little bit at the law of sowing and reaping. Genesis 8:22 declares, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Do we still have summer and winter and cold and heat and day and night? We still have seed time and harvest. The purpose of planting a seed is that it will die in order that its inner life can produce a new plant that will in turn bring forth a harvest that is much greater than that original seed. There are rewards attached to every seed of obedience. Whenever we sow a seed, we need to be quick to celebrate and release joy and faith over it, believing in the Spirit that something is set in motion and the rewards of heaven is on its way. When we give, we should say, go, multiply. See you later. You know, give our tithe and say, okay, go, bye. Go and multiply, and we'll see you later. Because what you plant comes back, comes back, comes back. Hallelujah. This principle is not limited to financial needs. It could be seeds of time or friendship or smiles or compassion on people. What we give out is seed we plant that will come back to us again. There's always a harvest time for those who sow seed. And expect your seed to produce fruit in its time. Some seed produces real fast, like a radish. You can plant a radish and have radishes in 3 weeks, maybe. They come back real fast. But a pecan, it takes, 30 years? And so seed has a different process of time for coming back in. So because we always continually have needs, it's important to continually plant seeds. And you have a harvest coming in on every wave, you know, just every wave, you know, as you plant. Then, you know, some seeds will come later and some quicker. But when you continually plant, you can expect continually harvest to come in. Hallelujah. Before the fall of man, the earth produced effortlessly. There was abundance in the Garden of Eden. I mean, they had to reach up and take the fruit off the tree, but it wasn't really work. It just was like a pleasure. But when Adam disobeyed God, there was a curse put on mankind. We're going to read about it in Genesis 3:17-19. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So when Adam sinned, there was a curse put on his livelihood. He had to get his food by the sweat of his brow. There were the thorns and the thistles. There became a curse upon his provision. Jesus broke Adam's curse when he wore the crown of thorns on his head and when he sweat his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He broke that curse. This is one of the final pieces of the redemption of Christ that we need to take a hold of. Now the curse over us is gone, and we can sow and reap with ease. This is kind of new revelation to me, but it's like Jesus, there was a curse, but when Jesus came, he bore the thorns, he sweat his blood, so that we can be free to sow and reap in freedom. Without the curse. Hallelujah. That's just good news. Because Jesus broke the curse, I can now reap, sow and reap with ease. Galatians 6, 7, and then we'll go down to 9. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Then we're going to Luke 6:38. It says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And so we have just a lot of promises from God. We're going to talk about praise in the harvest. How does praise have anything to do with a harvest? Psalm 67, 5 through 7. It says, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase." So when does the earth yield their increase? When the people praise him. Okay. "God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all of the ends of the earth shall fear him." When will the real earth yield her increase? When the people praise the Lord. When we praise God, things shift in the heavenlies, causing a reaction in the natural realm. Yes. Hallelujah. Living a lifestyle of worship will cause the earth to yield her increase. The blessing of the Lord is on us so that the ends of the earth will fear the Lord. It's really selfish of people to say, "Well, I don't really want anything. You know, I don't want anything." God wants his people to be blessed so that the gospel can be spread throughout the earth. Hallelujah. It's his purpose. It's his plan. And so we say, "Okay, Lord, yeah, I want to be blessed because I want to do the part in spreading your word throughout the world." Amen. Hallelujah. The more prosperous we are in God's blessing, the more our generosity can be used to reach the lost and evangelize the planet. God wants to bless us so that we will have the resources to help establish his kingdom. Matthew 6:21, and then we'll go down to 33. It says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So where you put your treasures, where your heart's going to be. You know, I've mentioned it before, but if you have a brand new boat, where is your heart going to be? Out on the lake. You know, But when you put your treasure into the kingdom of God, where's your heart going to be? In the kingdom. God's presence. Hallelujah. And when we seek God's kingdom, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. So when we seek God first in his kingdom, we become like a magnet that draws what we need to us. Hallelujah. We're going to do a decree. Because I seek God's kingdom first, that's nice. Everything I need is drawn to me like a magnet. Hallelujah. When we put our treasures in God's kingdom, our heart will be there as well. Okay, we're going to end with this last scripture. Well, I may do a few more. Let me see. But we're going to read Matthew 6, 31 through 34. And it says, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked out about what may or may not happen tomorrow. That's just good. God wants to bless his people, and we're living in strategic times right now. And I'm going to read a few scriptures just as observation of some of the things the Word says, but this is about the financial judgment on the wicked. We're going to read James 5, 1 through 3, and it says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments moth-eating. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures for the last day. So people that have, wicked people that have accumulated treasures, there will come a time when that they will be heaped up for the last days. And then we're going to read some other scriptures. Proverbs 28:8 says, one who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will have pity on the poor. So what's a good way to be blessed? Have pity on the poor. Don't be thinking about what we can add and build up to ourselves, but how can we help the poor? Because the person that have gained money wrong, God's going to turn around it and bring it back to those that have pity on the poor. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Amen. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner he gives labor to gather and to heap up that he may give it to him who is good before God. These are just interesting thoughts at the end of this. Job 27, and we're going to read 13 and then drop to 16 and 17. This is the portion of a wicked man with God and the inheritance of the cruel man which they shall receive from the Almighty. And then it says 16, though he heap up silver like the dust and prepares clothing like the clay, he may prepare, but the just shall put it on and the innocent will divide the silver. So God wants his people blessed, because when our heart is wrapped up in God and his kingdom, there's really no selfishness in us, because God is a giver. God gave his son. Jesus gave his all. He poured out his life. And when we have Christ in our heart, we just have a giving nature. We just want to give. We want to bless. And God wants to bless his people. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the times and the seasons that we're living in. And I thank you, God, that you're a miracle-working God and you're a provider, that Father Abraham is our father in the faith, and you blessed him and you blessed him and you blessed him. And Lord, I thank you for blessing this people. I thank you, Lord, for unexpected financial blessings to come into this body of people. Lord, I thank you for turning. I thank you for miracle debt reduction. I thank you, Lord, for unexpected monies. I thank you for blessing your people financially, Lord, pouring out to them all that they need. I thank you, Lord. 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 Mahali Oshoremiande. Indo Hokeyashina Hayote Eliande Aramayoshe. Inda Ramayoshe Nikayo. Oh, I just feel in my spirit somebody's been crying out for your own home, and the Lord says, I hear your cries, and I'm working on it right now. I'm working on it right now, and you'll soon have your own place that you've been longing for. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for financial miracles. We thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing on the people of this church. I thank you, Lord, that the people of this church, that they be blessed, that they be used, and they be kept safe. I thank you, Lord, that we give you our heart. We give our heart to you, and we put our faith and trust in you. We don't trust money, and we don't trust things. We trust you. And in trusting you, Lord, you bless us. You just bless us with so many blessings. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for financial blessings coming in. Just abundance, abundance, abundance. Unexpected, abundant blessings to become to this people. Lord, you promised us with Faith Ministries. You promised to bless us and use us and keep us safe. And we thank you, Lord, that that mantle and that blessing is upon all of our congregation and our partners in the United States, all over the United States and in Mexico. We thank you, Lord, for that blessing that comes with the mandate. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see everybody that could come on Saturday. Amen.